Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Ojibwa Warrior Dennis Banks and the Rise of the American Indian Movement is a memoir and historical autobiography by Dennis Banks, co-authored with Richard Erdos. The book traces Banks' personal life from his childhood on the Leech Lake Reservation in Minnesota, through forced attendance at a government boarding school, and into his role as a founder of the American Indian Movement. It combines individual memory with political history, showing how Native identity, cultural loss, and resistance shaped one another in the 20th century. Rather than presenting AIM as an abstract organization, the book places its rise inside lived experience incarceration, poverty, racism, cultural survival, and the effort to reclaim Native ceremony and language. It also describes major events such as the Trail of Broken Treaties and Wounded Knee, making the memoir both a personal account and a record of Indigenous activism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from boarding school assimilation to reclaimed Ojibwa identity. One of the book's central concerns is the damage caused by assimilation policy and the long process of recovering identity after it. Banks describes being removed from his family and sent to a government boarding school intended to replace Native life with white cultural norms. This is important because the memoir does not treat that experience as a temporary hardship. It shows how state policy disrupted language, family bonds, and cultural continuity. His later return to the reservation, where he had forgotten much of his Anishinaabe language and tradition, gives the book a clear emotional and political core. The narrative suggests that Native resistance begins not only with protest, but with remembering who one is after deliberate cultural erasure. That makes the memoir significant as a record of survival under assimilation rather than simply a political biography. Secondly, how AIM turned personal anger into organized Native resistance. The book explains the American Indian Movement as a response to accumulated injustice, not a spontaneous protest group. Banks presents AIM as an organization built from frustration with racism, broken promises, and the failure of official institutions to protect Native communities. This matters because the memoir links political mobilization to everyday experience on reservations and in cities, where Native people faced poor conditions and exclusion from decision-making. Banks also emphasizes collaboration, showing AIM as a movement that drew support from multiple tribes rather than serving only one community. The book therefore helps readers understand AIM as a pan-Indian political force that transformed scattered grievances into coordinated action. Its value lies in connecting one man's development to a broader movement strategy. Protest, visibility, and collective identity became tools for challenging federal power. Thirdly, Trail of Broken Treaties and Wounded Knee as turning points in Native activism. The memoir gives special attention to two landmark events, the Trail of Broken Treaties in 1972 and the Wounded Knee occupation in 1973. These episodes are not presented as isolated headline moments, but as evidence of how Native activism escalated when peaceful appeals were ignored. The Trail of Broken Treaties exposed tensions between Native demands and federal bureaucracy, while Wounded Knee became a nationally visible confrontation over corruption, treaty rights, and the continuing legacy of historical violence. By narrating these events from the inside, Banks turns them into lessons about the limits of symbolic protest and the costs of resistance. The book is especially useful for understanding how public attention, media pressure, and direct action interacted in the AIM era. It shows why these events remain defining symbols of Indigenous struggle in the United States. Fourthly, Native ceremony and spirituality as the foundation of political action. A distinctive feature of the memoir is its insistence that activism is inseparable from Native religion and ceremony. Banks describes sun dances, sweat lodges, and other Ojibwa practices not as cultural decoration, but as sources of discipline, meaning, and moral authority. This approach distinguishes the book from purely political memoirs because it argues that resistance is strongest when rooted in spiritual continuity. The memoir suggests that Native ceremonies help sustain community, restore personal balance, and maintain a sense of responsibility during periods of conflict. That perspective also clarifies why Banks saw cultural preservation as part of activism itself. In the book, protecting ritual life is not separate from fighting racism. It is one of the ways Native people survive it. Readers gain insight into how spirituality can function as a political resource without being reduced to politics. Lastly, a firsthand Native narrative shaped by memory, photographs, and public history, Ojibwa Warrior stands out because it blends autobiography with documentary history. Written with Richard Erdos and enriched by photographs, it aims to preserve lived experience in a form that is accessible to general readers while still grounded in Native testimony. The book is not only about major events, but about how those events felt to a participant who moved between reservation life, activism, and later cultural work. That combination gives the memoir a dual function. It tells a story and corrects omissions in mainstream historical accounts of AIM. The use of a first-person native voice matters because many earlier histories of indigenous protest were filtered through outsiders or critics. Here, Banks speaks for himself and situates his life inside a larger record of native resistance. The result is a book that is both personal and historically corrective. In conclusion, Ojibwa Warrior is best suited for readers interested in Native American history, the American Indian movement, civil rights struggles, and memoirs that combine personal testimony with political analysis. It is especially valuable for readers who want to understand how indigenous activism emerged from lived conditions rather than from abstract ideology. The book offers practical historical insight into organizing, cultural endurance, and the connection between ceremony and resistance. It also helps readers see how boarding schools, treaty violations, and federal neglect shaped Native political action in the late 20th century. Compared with many books on AIM, this memoir stands out because it is both intimate and historically important. It is not simply a chronicle of protest, but a reflection on identity recovery, cultural survival, and the moral basis of activism. Its directness and first-person perspective make it more immediate than academic histories, while its broad historical scope gives it lasting relevance for anyone studying indigenous rights and American descent. If you would like to support Dennis Banks, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.